We thank God for allowing us to go back into this beautiful book of Hebrews and to continue with our theme, the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews. One thing that I had wanted to do was to do a review, but I prefer to do the review of chapter 1 in the presence of the saints as opposed to doing it over the conference line, because it just seems like it won't be as interactive as I would like to see it be. But one of the things that we've covered chapter 2 in an introductory format on Saturday, and I want us to just understand that as we go through this revelation of Jesus Christ, one of the goals that the writer of the Hebrew had in mind, and one of the goals that I have in mind for us, is that when someone compares anyone, it changed my voice and try to make it stronger. When somebody tries to compare Jesus the Christ to anyone, any man living, dead, or who is to come, who might be cloned, pieced together like Frankenstein's monster, be fully aware that they will never be able to equal to, surpass, or even should be mentioned in the same realm of Jesus the Magnificent Christ. And this is what the writer of the Hebrews was giving them. So whenever someone is talking to us about a different religion, a different way of life, when our own mind gets to the place that it gets too haughty, or we have a friend that wants to make us embarrassed about who we say that God's word say that Jesus is, then we'll think about the book of Hebrews and think about all the compacted moisture sucked out of layers and layers and layers of God's revelation of who he is. And with that, let's go into chapter 2 and let's see the revelation of Jesus Christ confirmed by his apostles. That's what I said. Verse 1. Therefore, we will have to spend some time on that word as we go through and we try to extrapolate the juice out of this particular passage. We will definitely have to deal with that word. And the reason that we're going to have to deal with that word is because I'm, with God's help, going to show how this verse fits into the realm of which it was spoken at that time frame, how it fits with us today, and how it should bring about comfort, as well as it should bring terror. I don't know how to say terror in such a way unless I scream it out incoherently, and I'll spare your ears. But it should bring terror to an apostatizing, self-aggrandizing, autonomous, self-ruling individual that thinks that he walks upon this planet in his own will. This word is confirmed by the apostles of Jesus Christ. So let's work down. We're going to make it to verse 3 tonight. But for those that don't like to understand the Bible, you're not going to particularly like this passage. Because in this passage tonight, I'm definitely going to have to spend time elsewhere showing you what would have been the background for these people to know what has happened. So without any more preamble, let's go back to where we were. Therefore, we ought, it's obligatory to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape? I know that's not a period there. Although it's a comma, I'm reading it as if it's a period. Then I'll go back and read it as if it's a comma. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? Comma time. Not hammer. Comma. If we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Evidently, I wanted verse 4. We can do that. We can add that to it. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, according to his own will. This is so packed. I may not even have the ability to, I know I don't have the ability to bring out all the Jews, but I will meaningfully speak on it. I will meaningfully extract some of the Jews here. Let's go back to where we start. Therefore, in this particular book, in this particular chapter, in other words, if we don't look and see what it's saying when it says therefore here, we will truly and assuredly mess up. What do you mean? Therefore we ought to get a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Denotes, it says, we've heard something. What did they hear? I will submit to you that they had heard much of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, much of the message of Moses, but in keeping in context with the scripture, what had they heard? The more earnest heed to the things that they had heard, lest they should let them slip. First, they heard that God had already spoken in many portions and many ways and many time passages, which you call sundry times. We know that he spoke. We know that we have a God that can speak. He is not just some energy. He is not just some higher power. He is not just the oneness of a shoreless being that cannot think, talk, act, execute judgment, and fate does not come because of some abstract thing that just happens. This is a God that can speak and think and bring about his will. He is consistent. The Bible said that he spoke in the last days. In other words, the revelation is by his Son. In the past, he used prophets. He used many ways to do it through them. But now he said that he has spoken by his Son, the last revelation. He has appointed his Son heir of everything. And then he goes and tells you his Son made the worlds. Why does that matter? We discussed it. In making the world, he had not become human. When he took on humanity, he was the last revelation of God in flesh, and he became heir because the thing that he had as God, he did not allow himself to grasp that. And as a human, He was the last Adam. He fulfilled the role of Adam. And he is the one that reached the glory of God. When the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, not this one. And therefore, we ought to get a more earnest heed to him. He is the brightness of his glory. If I were to read on, we'd be covering what we've covered before. But the Bible says he's better than the angels. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. He is better than the angel. I'm talking about Jesus, the man. We already know as God he was better. I'm talking about the resurrected man, Jesus the Christ, who walked the earth as a man, yet he was fully God, and he made himself poor, made himself have poverty insofar as all his godly rights and privileges to exercise dominion, he laid it aside, and it was the Father in him doing the work. And this one was better than the angels. This one is the one that was begotten from the dead. The angels never died. This one, God said he would be to him a father. And this one, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. They already had to worship him as God. But when he came in flesh, the angels got to get to a proper perspective of being the servant of man. You serve God, you serve man. And this one, the God-man. And because the angels have to do it, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. This one has an eternal throne. It won't be an Abimelech saying he is king. It won't be a Jephthah. If you all will bow down and make me your leader, I'll do what I need to do. It won't be a case of having a high priest like Eli operating in a position like he's in authority. It won't be the case of having one like Samuel that walks around and he does the will of God and he does it as a prophet. Then he anoints a man, Saul, to be a king. Saul did not have an eternal kingdom. Then we see David. David died. And then we see the tribe split, Judah and Israel. But this David was promised that he would have a son whose throne would be forever. We have covered in Luke chapter 1 where the same angel Gabriel that was talking to Daniel and telling him what God was going to do and how he was going to put an end to sin and how he was going to put an end to the sacrifice. This one, Gabriel said his throne would be forever. Therefore, when you have an unchangeable king, you have an unchangeable law code, you ought to give the more earnest heed. His scepter, his rule is a rule of righteousness, and he hates lawlessness. Therefore, you ought to give the more earnest heed. Everything will perish, but he remains. Therefore, you ought to give the more earnest heed. And when you think about it, none of the angels, none of the prophets, none of the kings, none of his fellows were told to sit at the right hand of the Father and co-rule with him. But he was. Therefore, because of his credentials, and these are the things that he's saying, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Somebody can say, Tim, they had heard stuff before. But I will submit to you, he left no room for doubt. And when you see who he is, and when you understand who he is, you will understand he is going to be confirmed. And that he is confirmed by those that heard him. And he said, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Lest at any time, when you're embarrassed, when you want to cut somebody down, when you want to engage in promiscuity, when you want to be neutral and not stand your ground when you know that you're being challenged. You ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And what is it that we have heard? God has sent the revelation of the first, of the last, of him that was dead and is alive forevermore, of him that is and was and is to come, the one that rules heaven and earth. We should not let it slip. Then he comes to give his argument. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, angels that were under him, being the word of God that had never been made incarnate, God that would control them, God that could judge them, so much so that when the demons knew that he was God in flesh, not understanding how he was operating and doing what he was doing through God the Father, they asked him, did you come to torment us before the time? We knew that you could torment us at any time that you wanted to before. We assume that you can torment us right now, but the thing that they didn't understand is that his victory would come through death, and his victory would come through death because he's going to stand and do that which Adam was supposed to do. He's going to have dominion, and guess what? The law! Oh, great God Almighty. This thing is so sweet. Sometimes the word of God is so sweet, and the juice come out of it, even when you're teaching. And when those times happen, it's nothing but blessed assurance to me. This is something that I didn't even plan to read tonight. But God knows, I want us to see this thing. It is so pure, beautiful. If you will, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17. And let's look at, I would say, about the 15th verse. I don't want the 15th verse. I want to look at Deuteronomy 15. And then let's look at the 15th verse. The children of Israel, when they got to the place that they were going to want a king, the Bible said when they come to the land and God going to give it to them, and they possess it, I'm in 14, and dwell therein and say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord your God will choose. One from among your brethren shalt thou set over thee, that thou mayest not set a stranger over thee. Are you feeling what God is doing here? You see, what we began to learn is that God sets a king. God sets a kingdom. He sets a throne. He sets somebody over. And he told them way back then, when you get a king, he must come from your brethren. This one that did not take on him the seed of angels. He did not come as an Elohim. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, born of a virgin. And all of the things that he's done, all of the power that he possessed it as a man. And understanding, God gave the earth to man. So when the word spoken by angel was steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense of reward, when you have any man that's raised up by somebody's mind, even if it's yours, and we act like man rule, yes, he does, but which one? This one. It was first spoken by the Lord. It was confirmed by them that heard him. The demons didn't know that it would be done as a man. They felt like he was doing it as God. And they did not understand that God would win the victory through his son, through his son's death. Now listen to what the Bible says. I want you to hold this in your mouth, in your mind, in your heart. You know the Bible said, my word should not leave out of your mouth. Meditate therein. Listen to this one. Deuteronomy 19 and 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two or three witnesses shall the matter be established. I want you to hear this. If a false witness, if a false accuser, what is the Bible call the devil? The accuser of the brethren? If a false witness rise up against a man to testify against him, that which is wrong, then both the man whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest, and the judges which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be false, I would submit to you that Satan is a liar. He is a false accuser of the brethren. Listen to this now. If the witness be a false witness, and he has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do unto him as he thought to have done unto his brother, so shall you put evil away from you. I will submit to you that Jesus the Christ fits into this because he came as man. And by coming as man, he was falsely accused. What do you mean he was falsely accused? He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. If you be the Son of God, come down. We have no king but Caesar. We are Moses' disciples. All of the things, he cast out demons by Beelzebub. Many of those crimes that they were laying on Jesus, he's supposed to be put to death for. According to the Bible. They say you're leading them to another God. You're supposed to be put to death. And the devil was behind the accusations against him. So therefore, as a false witness, the thing that you thought to have done to your brother, so shall you put the evil from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no such evil thing among you. You shall not pity life for life. And he goes eye for eye, tooth for tooth. I will submit to you that because in the first chapter he says, and in this second chapter we're going to come to it, how he came and defeated the work of Satan. But it wasn't because he did a zap, a zoom, or a pop. He didn't do a snap, crackle, or a pop either. He defeated him through death. The false accuser got his just deserts. Because man does not die anyway, physically. To God, all men live. You killed him innocently, and because the judges and the priests of that day were wicked and ungodly, they never get to override that there's a God that sits up high and looks down low. They never forget, or maybe they did forget, but there's only one that can accept a sacrifice. When he offers himself as a sacrifice and takes the sin of the world upon himself, he does it. This is a man. This is the last Adam, and he has been falsely accused. And Satan sealed his own doom in having him killed. Somebody said the Bible said God did. You got to read Peter. You got to understand God is not like us. We don't understand all the tangential things that go on in our life, but God is fully aware. The Bible says, for that reason, we ought to get a more earnest heed. The word of angel was steadfast, they're not God. They're not man. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In showing you in chapter 2 that they are going to confirm what Jesus did, I'm showing you before we even get to that he has destroyed the works of Satan. I'm showing you now that he was falsely accused and put to death. Isn't that pretty? Hallelujah. And you don't have to like it, folk. I like it. Now it says, every transgression, every one of them, received a just recompense of reward. One of the things that I want us to understand, that is in keeping with the scripture. I don't usually go to Ecclesiastes a lot, not that I don't like it. It's just the fact most of the time it doesn't fit what I'm trying to say. But I got one for you. If you go to Ecclesiastes and you look at the last verse, Ecclesiastes 12, I would say 12 and 13 because I'd at least like to get 13. listen to what the Bible says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. I will submit to you that Jesus Christ, as man, did those things. Then the Bible says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. This is what was said here, verse 2. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Oh, I can find other places that say that. I like that when I memorized it as a boy. Listen to verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect, if we don't care, if we act like it doesn't matter, if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? That's where we got to zoom in. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. I will submit to you that the confirmation of the gospel is what this writer of Hebrews is going to use to show that Jesus was the revelation of God, the last revelation of God, and that God before had used other men to talk about him, and they did it in mysteries. They didn't fully know what was going on. Then God sent the revelation, and people, when he sent him, did not really know what was going on. Even they didn't know what was going on fully. And I will submit to you that after he was raised from the dead, he began to open the scriptures to them. I've read it many times before. If you don't know where to read it, you just go to Luke 24, start at the 24th verse, and read the rest of the chapter. He was confirmed by them that heard him. Not only was it confirmed with their mouth, God bore them witnesses, a witness. And that's what we're going to work tonight. We're going to work on the confirmation that we ought to get a more earnest seed. We're going to work with how should we escape. Because you can read past this all day long. God bear them witness and so and so and so and so. And then you just get to the end of the chapter and you don't realize what big a deal it was in the Bible. The Bible makes a big deal out of it. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm at least going to make a partial big deal out of it. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. I don't ever want us to think that God waited till Jesus died before the disciples learned how to make or allow it to be known that he is confirming his word. Luke chapter 10. Listen to what the Bible says. The Lord, remember it said it first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by them that heard him. Luke 10 and 1, the Bible says, after these things, the Lord, it's talking about Jesus, appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face, into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore, said he unto them, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. And whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, turn you again, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking. Yes, eating and drinking. You can have wine. But we're not talking about that right now. Such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his house. For the labor is worthy of his hire. I guess I said house. I got a response over there. Go not from house to house. Don't be trying to go over and get some from this one and trying to pig out. They may not have what you want in the other. Stay where you are. And into what city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. Listen to this. It says, at the first it began to be spoken by the Lord. The Lord had already been speaking when he sent these people out, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. I will submit to you that a confirmation was being given before they even fully understood everything that was going on. I'm just trying to show you that the writer of the Hebrews, he is cognizant of what is already transpired, and he is building a case for us to understand that we ought to give them more earnest heed. There is too much testimony before he came. There's too much testimony while the revelation of God walked the earth. And now, you better listen to them. He is still here, although you don't see him. Verse 11. You need to... Did I skip one? Yeah, I did. 9 is where I was. It says, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. First spoken by the Lord. So he, one of his first messages was, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. So I went to one where he's telling them what to say. So they should say, show both sides. Whatever city you in, if they receive you, go not your way into the streets, go not your way out into the streets of the same, and say, did it say go not? Did I read it too fast? Let me go back. But whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, that's where the emphasis is. There's the comma. Go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city that cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. That's a curse. In the book of, I almost said the book of Nahaman, but Nahaman was not the name of the book. 2 Kings chapter 5, if you go back and read where Nahaman the Syrian was healed of his leprosy, it's a very nice way that it was built up, but I'm giving you the bottom. At the end of that, Nahaman wanted some of the dirt. Some of the dirt of the very place that he was, because he considered it to be blessed dirt. He considered it to be the place where God dwelt. And therefore, since it's the place where God dwelt, I want to carry some of that earth back with me where I am. In this case, shake the dust off. And he says, when you do that, I say unto you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than that city. Listen to what he says in verse 3 of Hebrews 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at, this is at the first beginning to be spoken by the Lord and confirmed unto us by them that heard him. With these same men, Andrina, before he dies, and before he's resurrected, and before he sits at the right hand of the throne, because God's word was in him, and because he is the last revelation of God, you couldn't play with him then. How much more after he has fulfilled all of that? How shall we escape? He said, for those people, I'm going to tell you now, he is talking about Hebrew people. One to you can raise and one to you best say it for. If the mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had great while ago repented in sackcloth and ashes. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in judgment than for you. Capernaum, you exalted to heaven, you'll be thrust down to hell. Listen, this is the axiomatic, let me find another word. This is something that you look at when you think about the apostles and you think of Hebrews chapter 2 when it says it was confirmed by those that heard him. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despises you, despises me, and despises him that sent me. Now, I can go to John 17. I go there a lot of times, but I'm just going to quote it today. Jesus said, I don't pray for these alone, Father. I believe it's John 17:11, and I also believe the 21st verse is what you want to look at in John chapter 17:11, as well as 21, where he talks about he wants to be in them, and he wants them to be in him as he is in the Father. But I'm telling you, he said, he is also praying on them that will believe on me through their word. This is the same thing before he died. And I'm showing you a consistency. I am the last revelation of God. I speak the words of him that sent me. But I commission those to hear me. Because I speak your words, Father. And Jesus says, he that heareth you, heareth me. You hear the last revelation. He that despises you, despises me. In other words, you are representing me. In business, they call it a proxy. But in the Bible terms, you represent my body. The Bible says in verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your words. Jesus said, unto them I beheld as lightning. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I know people don't grasp that. But his position of authority, down, the kingdom of God has come. Listen, before he dies, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Drop down to verse 24. For I tell you, I need 23. And he turned to his disciples privately. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. Therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. He said, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Jesus says, blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. God is 100 times in divers manner spoke to the prophets. Jesus said, they didn't get to see what you see. There were kings that were forerunners of me. They didn't get to see what you see. There were priests. They didn't get to see what you see. They didn't get to hear what you hear either. And so he says, it was beginning to be spoken by the Lord, but it was confirmed by those that heard him. Verse 4 says, God bearing them witness, both in signs and wonders, divers, miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. I would submit to you that when you read this scripture, you ought to be able to understand that if he did all of this before he was raised from the dead, what else do we have coming from the Lord Jesus? I want you to see that this is the sign of God's blessing and his curse. Let me look at my time. Because when I'm building a case, sometimes I take longer than I want to. Oh, good, we can work with this. Let's go to the 22nd chapter of Matthew. You see, but he makes a statement here. We roll back to 2 and 1. We're dealing with 2 and 1. We're dealing with chapter 2 down through 4 as a unit. And dealing with it as a unit, we're saying that Jesus Christ, yes, he is the last revelation of God. But this is confirmed by his apostles. Listen to it again. We ought to get a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, receive just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first was spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? I would say confirmed by the apostles. Didn't we just hear Jesus say that if they receive you, they receive me. If they despise you, they despise me. If they hear you, they've heard me. If they don't shake the dust off your feet, and I'm telling you, they're hellbound like Sodom. They're hellbound like Gomorrah, Tyre, and Sidon. And I hadn't even been raised from the dead. Now the word spoken by angels was steadfast. I'm showing you that the word spoken by his apostles was steadfast before he even died. Don't play with Jesus. He's not the living one. Now let's go to what the Bible says and see how the Bible shows us. I believe that he is going to hammer in with all his might. Pay attention to the last revelation. Listen to this. I'm going to read through it like I did the other one. because I've taught this before, but I want to show you how it fits in the Hebrew book of Hebrews, Revelation of Jesus. Okay? Okay. And Jesus adds, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in Matthew chapter 22, verse 1. Matthew chapter 22, verse 1. It's a parable that many of us are familiar with, but I'm going to show you that the ones that heard him first, that heard the angels, and didn't listen, got the kingdom taken from them. I'm going to also say that it's important for us to see this because a lot of what we see in the book of Hebrews is going to be the revelation of Jesus Christ being made the head of the corner and a lot of what they held on to being taken away. Okay, let's see how it works. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Sent forth servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they wouldn't come. And he sent forth other servants, telling them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed. All things are ready, come on to the marriage. They made light of it, went their own way, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. Can I say they neglected what was there? I won't say that right now. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But the king, when he heard thereof, was wroth. He sent forth his armies. Don't ever forget that when you're studying the book of the Revelation. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up the city. Don't ever forget that he sent armies and burned up the city. Because the book of Revelation will mean a whole lot to you if you know this. Verse 8. Then saith he to his servant, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. Go ye to the highways, and as many as ye find, bid to the marriage. So the servant went out in the highways and gathered as many as they could find, both bad and good. The wedding was furnished. The king came to see his guest. There was a man that had on the wrong garment. He said, friend, how did you come not having a wedding garment? Then the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him out in the outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and wailing of teeth. I would submit to you that Israel, just like this book is to the Hebrews, there is a singular name and a plural name. Israel is one man. And then you also have Israel oftentimes being called the nation. Mm-hmm. The book of the Hebrews is Israel. I'm going to prove that in a minute. And then you definitely have the last parable that we talk about when the man, he had a farm and they didn't give him what he wanted because I don't want to read both of them. Mm-hmm. And when he did not get his produce, they killed the son. So when they killed the son, he said, the kingdom will be taken away from you. And when he said that, guess what? The Pharisees knew that they were talking about him. Listen, I'll read that part, and then I'm going to move to the next part. Verse 40, Matthew 21, I've kind of given the story where they want to kill the son and take the inheritance of this farm, this vineyard. So when the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard come, what will he do to those husbandmen? They say he will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which will render his fruit in their season. I would submit to you, just like they wouldn't come to the wedding, and he sent his armies. And just like even one that looked like he was in wasn't dressed right, he was put out in the outer darkness. I will also submit to you that the people that he had given to maintain the kingdom of God that didn't, he says he's going to destroy those wicked ones for killing the man's son. The parable is showing, and what I'm saying is they neglect so great salvation which was spoken at the first by the Lord because he wouldn't have been killed by them. Now he's telling the Hebrew writers, the readers, same thing for you. But if they don't know what the first thing is, we know angels and stuff. No, it was deep. So let me read 42. Jesus said unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corners. It's the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation that bringeth forth the fruit thereof. But that's not all, that the kingdom is taken. And whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken, and to whomsoever it shall fall will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. And you know what? The only reason the Bible said they didn't try to kill him then is people thought he was a prophet. God confirmed with miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. I could have went directly to Acts and show you those things that took place, but I want us to see it wasn't that it was just Jesus died and rose from the dead and God just came up with something altogether new. Mm-hmm. He had been telling. He had been showing. He had been giving miracles. And then when the final revelation came, it wasn't like Jesus came and there was no fanfare. It was a lot of fanfare. And so when Jesus left, he left his apostles. When he was there, they were able to do things in his name. But when he left, don't think that you can revert back to what you were doing, because he was the last revelation of God, and they saw him, they heard, and they're doing what he said. And now I'm going to build the case in Acts chapter 13. I'm going to go Acts 9. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do before I do it. I'm going to show you that Paul was called by Jesus to go and teach the word of God to the people. And then I'm going to go to Romans chapter 10 and show that the people that neglected so great a salvation were cut off. They were cut, slapped off. And then when you read all of this in line together, you'll see that the warning is being given in Hebrews of the last revelation of God is absolutely in such a way that we should never, ever look at it in such a way that it's just something that we just skip over. Listen to what the Bible says. I'll look at Acts 1 and 9 and 1. Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. I'm going to read some and I'm going to quote some for the sake of time. He had letters to go and have people locked up. King James will say bound. He went to Damascus and a light shone around him. Then he fell to the earth, and then he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he says, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. So he was told to go to his city. He'd go see a man named Ananias. And he was made blind, and he would be able to and be told what needed to be done. Okay? Go to verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said, arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas from one Saul of Tarsus. And behold, he prays. And he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias come put his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard many of this man how much evil he has done. He has authority with the chief priests to bind or to lock up all that call on his name. Please listen to verse 15 and 16. We read all of that to get to this. But the Lord said, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name, to bear my authority, to bear my revelation, to bear my name before the Gentiles. Oh, feel this? I just told you, I just read that the kingdom will be taken from you and given to a nation that will bring forth the fruit. Didn't I read that? That's the connect. Because God brought him signs and witnesses and wonders and gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you that the signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will is showing that he has taken the kingdom from Israel, and that the revelation of Jesus Christ stands above all of the temple service, all of the rituals, and that it's about him. And if you don't hear him, you have nothing. And he did this as the man raised from the dead. Now let me go back and read. I will show him how much great things he must suffer for my sake. Read 15 again to him. And he said, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him what great things he must suffer for my sake. Let's go to Romans 11, and I want you to see what kind of message that this Paul gives to the people that about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me check my time, because I want to make sure, okay, I got 10 minutes I'm going to work with. I think I can do it. And then in discussion, if I need to go back and reiterate some of what I've said, I can. I want you to understand Paul was sent to the Gentiles, but he was also sent to Israel. There was a time when Paul said, I'm through with you, Israel, because you won't listen. But listen to what it says in Hebrews 1. We're really going to get down to 20, so I'll skip some, but I want us to get a flavor. Paul says in 11 and 1, has God cast away his people? God forbid. I'm an Israelite. I'm of the seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin. Has God cast away the people which he foreknew? What not the scripture say of Elias? He makes intercession for Israel, saying, Lord, they kill your prophets. Remember the parable? They kill your prophets. They dig down your altars. I'm left alone. But what saith the answer of God to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed to the image of Baal. So then at the present time there's a remnant. And then it talks about grace, and it's not of works. Verse 7, I skipped 6 on purpose, not because there's nothing in there, but that's not my point. For then Israel have not obtained that which ye seek, but the election has obtained it. When I talk about the election, I'm thinking Ephesians 1 and 4. God, and Paul is talking to a group of Ephesians that are not Hebrew. God had chose us in him before the foundation of the world that they should be holy and without blame before him in love. Listen to verse 9. David said, let that table be made a snare, talking about the Jews, a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. Listen, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. For to provoke them to jealousy. For if the fall, this is those that had heard him first, and had heard the angels, and many of them neglected, and he's warning them, but you neglect so great salvation. It's being confirmed. It has been confirmed by the apostles. Here is Paul confirming the message. If the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to immolation or imitation of them which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away, if we neglect so great salvation, I want you to hear Paul talking that same kind of talk. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? If the first fruit be holy, the lump is holy. If the root, then the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive leaf, an olive tree, I don't know where I got leaf from, were grafted in amongst them, and with them partake of the root and the fatness, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, you don't bear the root bears you. Thou wilt say the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by them that heard? First, let's read this, 20. It says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off. Thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity on God, on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not in unbelief, shall be grafted in. God is able to graft them in again. Here, we see that Paul is confirming the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus was the kingdom be taken. The message of Jesus is that he came over and over again. I could give a lot of the message of Jesus. Paul is saying, not Paul, the writer of Hebrews said, how shall we escape? You think he's not familiar with the things that is happening, that's going on? I submit to you that the place where most people would have thought that I would go is where I'm going now. Mm-hmm. Look at Acts chapter 2. I'm going to show you that God is given a sign, and he's bearing witness with signs, wonders, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. Acts 2 and 1 said, when the day of Pentecost was come, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they all were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and set on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, the word there is glossa, languages, not babble, as the Spirit gave them utterance. I would submit to you that's the exact same kind of thing when the fire came on top of the mountain, when God gave the law, he's doing the same thing here. They were dwelling in Jerusalem. Please, please catch this. Devout men under every nation under heaven. Under what? Every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and was confounded because every man heard him speak in his own language. They were amazed and marveled. Listen to the nations, saying one to another, are not all of these that speak Galileans? How hear we in our own tongue? Every man in our own language, Parthians, that's Persia, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed. I will submit to you that what is being placed and what is taking place here is a sign of a curse against the Jews, that you are not any longer the head. It is now broken off and will be given to a nation. Now you are having to learn God's truth through immolation or imitation by the Gentiles, the ones that would hear. And this writer in the Hebrews said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? I submit to you that what many had already been cut off, we have no king but Caesar. His blood be upon us and our children. There was some that would hear, and the writer of the Hebrews is saying, there is no escape for us if we neglect him. He is the last revelation of God. Well, the Bible says, as you move on, the people thought they were drunk. Peter got up and began to preach, and in the 16th verse he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, not just the Jews. And your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see vision, your old men will dream dreams. And I will submit to you, he said, in the last days. I will submit to you when he says in the last days, the book of Hebrews says in the last days he has spoken by his son. We see that they are speaking in tongues. Is the Spirit give them utterance? Let's go to the same Paul and let him explain what tongues really mean according to the scripture. And then we'll close up the first four verses of Hebrews chapter 2, escape so great a salvation. I know there was a different way to go to it, but I believe sometimes when we already know some scriptures, it's good to go at something in a different angle. That way we can hear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'll start at the 19th verse. I like that. Paul said, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue, language. Brethren, be not children in understanding. So many people are children in understanding when it comes to this. How be it in malice be children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues or other languages, and with other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet For all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And people would twist it all day long and say, well, it's for you when you don't believe to get it. The Lord had nothing to do with you getting the tongue. When it was time for you to get a tongue, you do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when the Babylonians was over you and you didn't know the language and they taught you the tongue.
Tongues are for a sign not for them to believe, but for them to believe not, but prophesying serveth for them that believe not. Okay, now listen, how does that work? Paul is actually quoting back in Isaiah chapter 28 and 11. If you look at Isaiah 28 and 11, I'm going to tie this together, and then I'm going to close out the meeting for tonight. But we have much more to go with on this. But in Isaiah 28 and 11, let me read 28 and 11, and I'll go back and show you what's going on. He says, for with stammering lips and with another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest whereas you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. What he is doing is showing that God has brought about judgment upon you all, and instead of you being the head, you're the tail. You are fulfilling what God had told the people from Moses. Deuteronomy 28 and 49, the Lord will bring a nation from far, from the ends of the earth, swift as an eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you don't understand, fierce countenance, and they shall not regard the old or the young. It's a sign that you are no longer the head. It's a sign that you are the tail. It's a sign that you are broke off. And so when you take that into consideration, I mean, I know it's a lot to take into consideration, but we've gone through this stuff before. When you see that Jesus is greater than the angels, he's greater than the prophets, and you're going to see he's greater than the temple, he's greater than everything. And now, I've confirmed to you that he's the last revelation of God. Now I'm going to confirm to you that his apostles, they confirm him. And how do you say they confirm him? They heard him. They saw him. And God bore them witness with signs and wonders. We got all kind of healings and miracles and stuff in the New Testament. But the one people like to talk about the most is the tongue. And divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. The warning for these people is real. Remember, we're talking about the Hebrews. They need to be afraid that God will do something to them. But if you just take that to be, oh, that means that I ought to get a more earnest heed lest I let him slip because God going to get me. It's like, wait a minute, it's more packed than that. Yes, he will. But look at his resume. He brought judgment because of the angels. And look at what he did to their fathers that did not adhere. He allowed many of them, while Jesus' disciples that were confirming his word, to shake the dust off of their feet and let them already be doomed. That's what he said, Sodom and Gomorrah, Tyre and Sidon. Then he allows another man that's going to do something, and he chooses him as a vessel to go to the Gentiles, the ones that you think are nothing, and to you. But you go and try to kill him. I know the book of Acts. But as this man writes back to Rome and say, you all were chosen. You all were God's people. You didn't hear. You didn't listen. And you all have been broken off. If you're not grafted back in, your doom will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. What is the sign that you are under domination? You are broken off the tongue. The speaking in the tongue. The new generation. The holy priesthood. And when you're hearing this writer write to the Hebrews, don't be like those that killed him. You all have heard and you all believe. Don't go back to that. It killed him. Give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. Because if the word spoken by everyone that's lower than him is steadfast, do you hear the kind of judgment that he says that will be if you don't hear him? And you better hear his apostles that God confirmed that they're still speaking about the last revelation and not a new revelation. Hopefully, as we read that, we apply it to ourselves. What does Jesus say about what I'm doing? What does Jesus say about what I'm thinking? I think back in the 32nd version, a few weeks ago, I was getting ready to go somewhere and publicly deal with an issue, and I felt I was right in every way to do so. And my wife called me and said, I don't think we should. Why not? We're right. But God said, you go and you talk to that person alone. Then if they won't hear you, then you do. I think we should talk to the person first. And I'm thinking, well, this is not in the context of this person worshiping with us. But the truth of what she was saying in Scripture, I had no argument. Why? Because Jesus had said it. Until we get to the place that what Jesus says goes, and who he appoints to confirm his word to us goes, we can go to church, we do Bible study, and still miss God's revelation. It's been confirmed. He confirmed it while he walked. He confirmed it through his apostles. So I want to stop right here tonight. God has confirmed his word through his apostles. Yes, there are many miracles that I could have brought up, but I think a lot of those we already know. We might talk about a little bit on it another time, but right now I wanted to make that point. And that point is, these people should have known and at least seen that were many of their brethren that had already neglected, had already been doomed. And you got too much right there in front of you. When you see God has judged somebody in your family, etc., it should make you fear. I would submit to us that if we can see that happening, and that's the warning they get, how much more for us? We have the completed Bible and history. Father, thank you for your blessed, eternal, righteous, and holy word. We need it. We need your word. We need to walk in it. We need to walk with the confirmation that you have sent and given us through your Son. Help us to please you. Guide us in every way, I pray, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen, and even so. Amen. Mm-hmm.